latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Eddie O's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races after basically the typical Haskin Shulman visit, which is, you know, we lose control about 3 minutes in, it jumps the tracks.
It was very entertaining. I was in the green room over there, Steve. Smelling the bagels and hearing the conversation. Those guys are phenomenally entertaining and fonts of all kinds of knowledge, both from the sublime to the ridiculous, all on display here on At the Races, live at Belmont Park.
Very much so. And Steve Crist, Case, I'm going to have you get a hold of Steve, and we'll incorporate him as we've got about 20 minutes to fill out. I should have given him the hook about 25 minutes ago, but it's hard. It's hard because they say something, it triggers me, and I put out something else, and then they run with that.
The listeners would have been the loser in that equation. Sometimes it's better to just have a chaotic hour of radio, and you squeeze in what you can, and you guess who understand and are willing to roll with the punches.
Speaking of chaotic radio, you saw, I'm sure, after the fact that... we were joined by Harvey on Tuesday, and it was absolutely, as always, warmly received by those that adore him and love hearing from him and are marveling at how just adroit he continues to be on a conversation about the game.
Still sharp as ever. Wonderful to talk racing with, media with. Always great, not just to hear his stories, but a tremendous friend and somebody who's given me some good advice as I'm in this new, you know, World Horse Players Tour venture. And it was great hearing his perspective, somebody who's seen it all in the landscape of racing and television. That was our most recent lunch, catching up there on the Upper West Side, and we're due to do another one soon. I saw that he was on, haven't listened yet. I'm going to treat myself maybe on the LIRR ride home tonight to get to listen to a little extra Harvey Pack. But I mean, talk about somebody who's always a pleasure and a great storyteller. There it is.
Just remarkable. He was on his way to Atlantic City, and we really had great fun. Steve Crist is joining us at the same time, and Steve, I'll say good morning and let you know that Pete Fornatale is sitting in with us as well. Good morning, Steve Crist.
Good morning to both of you.
Steve, perfect opportunity to visit with you, and you've been watching Triple Crown unfold. You, like so many others, watched Triple Crown attempts fall short. American Pharoah 3 years ago proved it could still be done. Some thoughts about Saturday and justify what you expect.
Well, we never know what to expect in the Belmont Stakes, but I have a skeptical view this time around with Justify, and certainly at the 2-5 that he's likely to be by post time. I mean, I've been rooting for him all spring. He's obviously has the most raw talent of any horse in his crop, and I'm sure he'll end up being the 3-year-old champion regardless of what happens. He's just a brilliant colt. But I think the combination of the lack of 2-year-old racing, the mile and a half, and what I think we saw were some real chinks in his armor in the Preakness, I think it's worth taking a shot against him on Saturday.
Up until, and I guess through Baltimore, the whole equation, Steve, of a unraced 2-year-old and how long that, you know, that proviso hung over the Derby, you reference what an impressive accomplishment we've witnessed with him to this point. Come up with an alternative as well, and how you're going to bet the race.
Well, I'm a multi-race player, and that's the last leg of the pick everything on that terrific 13-race card on Saturday. The Belmont is the 11th, and it ends the pick 6, 5, a big guaranteed pick 4. I'm not going to leave out Justify. I will use him defensively just in case I'm real smart in the previous races. But I'll also be using 2 or 3 others in that race, and probably by the time we get to that point, I'll be rooting for one of them.
Steve, in terms of the sequence of races and really these 3 days and, you know, what has been this truncated concept, I think we talked about it, you know, several years ago when Naira went to this, to the Super Saturday idea, and I started the morning mentioning, you know, that today's card, Friday, Saturday, really amounts to a outlandish sequence of 33 racing and wagering opportunities. Now that we've had a couple of years to digest it, the Met Mile for so long, the standard on Memorial Day, what's your feeling about this direction that it really has become kind of a fixture, not just here, but around the game?
You know, 20 years ago, I would have said, oh, no, leave the Met on Memorial Day. It's a grand tradition, and it brings people out to the track. But the truth is that it works. Many, many more people now see and digest the Met Mile, which is, you know, one of the 3 best races in America, by having it on this big day. And while my head's kind of spinning from handicapping 18 stakes races in the last 24 hours, I think on balance it's a really good thing. You know, put your best foot forward when everyone's watching. And what a terrific day. I mean, Belmont Stakes Day has really turned into the, you know, the June Breeders' Cup. and it's just a terrific collection of races. I mean, the number of stars who are running on Saturday, you know, the other side of the double-edged sword is that some of these races get a little bit lost, and I still wince a little when I see, you know, the Acorn is the fourth of 13 races, and it'll be gone and forgotten in half an hour. But still, on balance, I like these big days.
It's a give and take for sure, Steve, but one that definitely has that upside to focus on. I thought of you today, Steve, walking into Belmont and walking by the Secretariat statue, and of course thinking about Bill Knack, who of course passed away recently. And I feel like anytime you're at Belmont Park and there's a big red horse going for the Triple Crown, Knack is going to come to the forefront of the thoughts of many racing fans. And I was just curious to ask you to reflect a little bit on him and what he meant to racing and his connection to Secretariat.
Well, you know, I'm a little biased because Bill was a very good friend as well as being a great turf rider. I've thought of him this week a lot too, if only because he usually dropped by at some. He'd just show up at my front door when he got to town, so I miss seeing him. But he'll, of course, forever be linked to Secretariat and his Triple Crown, and I think people are going to be reading his Secretariat book 100 years from now.
It really does stand as one of those classics, not just of sports literature, but of narrative nonfiction, as I like to say. Turning our thoughts back to the card on Saturday for a minute, Steve, I don't know if you had a chance to do the 100% job yet, but is there any particular spot you're really looking forward to diving in and getting involved?
Oh, I'll be diving in and getting involved for all 13. I love the card. I've done all the stakes races. I've been through them once, and you know it's a really nice combination of races where there are two or three standouts that you can probably lean on, and a couple of races that I think could really be wide open scrambles. You know, much as I was saying, I love the Met Mile as a race. This is probably the worst Met Mile field in at least a decade, if not more. You know, there are a couple of horses who didn't make the race. I mean, what price would Army Mule or Backyard Heaven have been in this field? You know, so you're left with kind of that group of horses who've been running against each other in Kentucky, and then some kind of weird, interesting horses. I mean, Mind Your Biscuit's a legit favorite, but he's a 6-furlong, 7-furlong closing sprinter. He ran okay going a mile last year. But, you know, I'm not convinced that he has to win at a mile. I think he's better at 6 as a closing sprinter. You got a really interesting new shooter in B Jersey. And I don't know quite what to do with Bolt d'Oro. I mean, usually, you know, a 3-year-old who hasn't run a buyer figure much higher than 100 would have no chance in a race like this, because the winning par for the Met Mile over the last 20 years is about 113. But, you know, this year it could be won at the 102 to 105 level, and that puts Bolt d'Oro in it. So I think that's a really interesting race.
One of the frequently asked questions I get, Steve, when I see racing fans out at the track concerns you and your current whereabouts and your agenda as far as horse racing goes in 2018. So I just want to ask you for a little bit of an update about how often you're playing, if there's a chance we might see you out at Belmont this weekend or up at Saratoga this summer.
Well, I sure hope to get up to Saratoga this summer, since I don't have to be at Belmont on Saturday now that I'm a happily retired person. I am going to enjoy the day from my desk. There's just too much good racing, and it's I love the luxury of not being, you know, accountable on half a dozen different fronts, and I can just enjoy watching and betting those races. In terms of what I'm doing, I'm playing the horses pretty much full time. It's not what I expected to be doing, but it's what I enjoy doing, and the game's pretty good these days.
Steve, I also know that you're waiting for a horse of your own that you bought into. Update us on that.
Yeah, I mean, I went out and proved I learned nothing in 40 years around the racetrack. buying a yearling last summer, you know, you tell people around the track, hey, I bought a horse, and they just say, you know, I thought you were smarter than that. But I'm having a ball doing it. We bought a partner, a good friend of mine, Ken Direct, and I, we bought a mineshaft yearling, a New York-bred filly last year at the Fasig Tipton Sales. She's with Phil Gleaves. And we've just had a ball. I mean, the joy of horse ownership and, you know, going down, visiting your filly on the farm in the winter in Ocala, which we did, and watching her come along. And, you know, we were hoping to run her early. Phil and I are both believers in running two-year-olds early and often. She's had all the little two-year-old, you know, stuff, pop splint and cold and this and that, but she's back training now, and we're hoping to run her before Saratoga, and we're really having a lot of fun with it, more than I expected.
Does she have a name yet? Can we pop her in the stable mail?
Sure. Her name is Mineshaft Blues.
I like the name.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That is nice. Steve, I'm not going to move on or let you go without a couple of you know, ambient industry thoughts. And one thing that you obviously watched for years, you know, kind of like a slow motion train wreck, perhaps, the sports betting landscape and the seismic shift authored by Monmouth Park, Dennis Drazen. Some thoughts on how things proceed from here?
Well, you know, I don't think that people who say, oh my God, this is catastrophic for racing and this is going to have a huge effect on the industry. I just personally don't agree with that at all. I think that everyone may be overestimating, you know, the appetite for sports betting that doesn't currently exist. I mean, I don't know a whole lot of people who want to bet sports that aren't already betting sports. I don't think it's going to suddenly draw people away from racing. What I am disappointed is that, you know, the racing industry, not shockingly, doesn't seem to have had a plan in place of any kind for, you know, what's the first thing we do the day after the Supreme Court inevitably makes this decision. Obviously, racing has to protect itself. The sports betting has to be available everywhere. And there are going to be some nice opportunities, you know, as well as a competitive threat. There's got to be a way to link these two things. I mean, 25 years ago when I was working at NYRA, we did a promotion on Sundays, and we got away with it even though it was sort of sports betting. We ran a contest. It was some kind of, you know, pick the pros and ponies, where you had to pick three football games and a horse race and put them together. Now, if you have legal sports betting, it's really going to open up the kind of bets that racing can offer. You know, in terms of proposition bets and parlays and combining horse racing and sports. And I guess I'm a little disappointed that I've heard nothing about that sort of thing from the racing industry itself. There is an opportunity here. You know, let's put together some of the best minds in the sport and see how we can take advantage of this.
They're, of course, with Delaware already started, and it's expected that New Jersey will have their rules in place and be able to open the William Hill book at Monmouth tomorrow. So the first two notable, and of course Delaware had a big head start because they were grandfathered in with Oregon and Montana, I think.
Parlay cards.
Yeah, the parlay, football parlay. And they already did 400,000 day one. Steve, what you suggest about some of the inventive, there has been some of that. There, I've seen some people talk about, you know, how much fun that could be. Dennis Drazen himself actually threw that suggestion, kind of floated it out there. There's a couple of other things, Steve, that have happened since we've spoken, and most notably the unbelievable achievement of changing the tax code and the IRS guidelines, which has really been so well received, something that you were hoping for and wrote about, you know, forever. And I think it feels like the next topic along those lines that is coming into crosshairs is breakage, which something, of course, you managed to change in New York to the everlasting appreciation of horse players here.
Yeah, I still still smile whenever I see a horse pay $7.10 instead of $7 in New York. That should be everywhere. You know, breakage is just an anachronism and a lazy thing, and, you know, because they didn't want tellers using pennies and nickels 50 years ago. There's no reason for it to continue today, not to, you know, to still be in effect. And, you know, what it amounts to in the long run, like the tax revision, is better churn, more money in the customers' pockets, happier customers. It can only be a good thing. And I think the tax thing, which really was, you know, 25 years in the making, we're seeing the effects of it. We're seeing it in the national handle. And, you know, I can tell you, as somebody who used to sign way too much stuff and, you know, get into a tax bind every year, it is such a pleasure to be playing the horses without that being a concern. It's made a big difference to me.
I wanted to ask a question, Steve, about your decision to get back into playing horses more than you thought you were going to. Did your foray on the ownership side bring you back in, or was it vice versa, or was there some other factor that's made playing the horses more appealing again at this stage in your life?
Well, you know, really, Pete, I started out saying, I'm going to be a Saturday player. I'm going to be a weekend warrior. You know, I'll just watch the good cards and the big races on Saturday. But I found, not that I didn't know this all along, but I found again, that doesn't really work. You know, yeah, sure, it can be a once-a-week hobby. But, you know, if you're as into it as I was for so many years, you know, you really can't play the races on Saturday if you haven't seen the races on Thursday and you haven't seen people's last start. And I find it a very, you know, difficult thing to do at half speed. So I'm kind of back into it full time. And, you know, I'm enjoying it so much, you know, without having, as we say, work get in the way of your horse playing, that this is what I ended up doing.
Any new tools in your toolbox?
No, I think we've got all the tools you need at Daily Racing Form. There's my little ad.
There you go.
For the form. But no, I mean, you know, I'm obviously I use Formulator all the time, and you know, really enjoy that. So I haven't discovered anything new, but you know, you do continue to learn something every day in this game.
Well, we hope that there might be a occasional spa notebook missive that might trickle out from your keyboard.
You never know.
And two other quick things. Your health is good?
It's good enough.
And how is Robin?
Very well, thank you. We're doing great.
Well, Steve Crist, as always, a treat. Best of luck today, tomorrow, and Saturday, and we'll catch up for Saratoga, and we're looking forward to seeing that horse. I'm going to go see Phil Gleaves, who's at Saratoga, set up shop, one of the nicest people in the sport, and two of the nicest people in the sport. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Steve Crist to Pete, and we got about 45 seconds for your thoughts?
Oh, I can't wait. I share Steve's skepticism based on all the factors he mentioned. At the same time, possible to hold two thoughts in one's head, and you watch this horse work, and you wonder if he might just not be special enough to counterbalance it all. So as a horse player, I'll be playing it both ways. I'll take a serious swing against him. Sort of like Steve said, have him straight on the end and some of the more creative combinations, be able to cheer with the crowd. But, you know, the wise guy in me, happy with that 12-1 on Hofburg from a month ago, and probably will try to build some picks going in the other direction as well.
And contest ideas. Pete dresses with an appearance. Who do you like? Vino Rosso from Pete Dresses. There we go. A quick selection, and we'll have to catch up on contest news. And
I'll be around tomorrow if you have
a free
minute.
Well, Nick will be here. We'll have maybe an overlap with
Nick.
Could
be great.
And expand on concepts. Steve Askin, of course, and Lenny Shulman with just an outrageously fun visit earlier this morning. Tracy and Ian Wilkes, as well as Anita Cawley. And just a frenetic 3 hours at Dale Roman's with a tremendous visit with a lot of insights about horses and horsemanship. Best of luck. I will get the multi-race wager now that the scratches, they came out about 15 minutes ago. Let me work on that, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Full weekend preview live from Belmont Park.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Can Justify complete his historic run to the Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes? Find out on Saturday, June 9th. And if you're looking for a way to bet the Belmont, look no further than ExpressBet.com. ExpressBet provides legal online and mobile wagering on more than 300 tracks, including Belmont Park. And this year, ExpressBet has its own Triple Crown of Belmont Stakes promotions you can't afford to pass up. First, new customers can sign up to receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. And once you have an account, you can cash in on a pair of our most popular promotions. Get your money back in the Belmont Stakes if your horse finishes second or third, and hit big at a 10% Exacta bonus throughout the entire Belmont Stakes card. Plus, ExpressBet's free Belmont Stakes wager guide is now available. Don't forget to check back on Friday, June 8th to get Eddie Olchick's Belmont picks exclusively online at ExpressBet. Ready to start betting? Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and sign up for an account today. And don't forget to bet the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 9th.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.